Okay, let's get into today's daf. We are on Yud Gimel Aveiz, and then we get into daf Yud Dalet, which are the sugyas, as we mentioned, the next seven blot of Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim. Okay, so let's get into first, finish up the Gemara Babadika. We're on Yud Gimel Aveiz, five lines up from the bottom. Just to note that we mentioned that they used to use todos psulos. The Mishnah says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, to mention, to make sure everybody knew about the three different times on Erev Pesach, the time, the end of the Isra Achila, the end of the Isra Ana, and the time to start burning it, they used to use shtei chalos or todos psulos on the roof of one of the, on the awnings of one of the benches. So what exactly does it mean, todos psulos? Why do we need pasul carbonos? What do we need pasul loaves for? And where did they become pasul from? So we had two different days yesterday. We had Rabbi Chanina, who says because there were so many carbonous toda that had to be brought before Pesach, and they were made out of chametz, so nobody could bring them on Pesach, and nobody could bring them on Erev Pesach either, because ein mevim kachin lo beis apsul. One is not allowed to bring a carbon in a way that will have a minimal time of partaking from it. So that's why they brought it on the 13th. There was a lot left over, so they used one of those loaves that were left over to maybe the siman that the time has come for end of this rachila v'chulu. Rabbi Yanai was day number two. He said really they were kosher, but they were in a state where they weren't able to become halachically edible. Why? Because either the shechita was done and the first we wanted to suggest that the shechita was not done yet, but then we said, no, why wasn't the shechita done? So maybe the shechita was done, but the zrika was not done. And the halacha was that you needed the zrika to be done in order to mata the karban. The shechita itself is enough to give it inherent kedushas haguf, that you can't redeem it anymore. That's why you're stuck and you're not able to be potent. But you didn't do the zrika, so that is why it can never become kosher. That's what psulos mean. The Gemara then said that maybe not. Maybe the Mishnah could be even according to Rabbi Reb Shimon. And Rabbi Reb Shimon holds like his father, like Reb Shimon, who holds kol ha'omed lizro kizarik dami. So we said right at the end that that's a very important idea that is implicit in the Gemara, that kizarik dami is enough to say that it has kedusha, but it's not enough to take it literally to say that actually the lechem is mutter. Because if you had the actual zrika, then you'd be able to even eat the loaves. So that's what the Gemara said, that you could have this middle approach, that kalom elizrok, enough for the item to achieve inherent kedusha, but not enough for it to be actually eaten. That's what the Achronim pointed out. I mean, you don't need the Achronim. It's explicit in the Gemara. Because the Gemara, well, why can't you eat it if you say kalom elizrok? The answer is no. It's not enough to say to actually eat it, but it is enough to say that it achieves inherent kedusha. Try that I point out Tosfos on in Tiber Masel Kala Omid. Tosfos says if it's true that you say Kala Omid Lizra Kazarik Dami, so then why don't you say that even if you did the Zrika Shalol Lishma, it doesn't get ruined? Remember we said yesterday that you need the Shechita and the Zrika to be done properly in order to achieve full kedusha and full edibility halachically. But if you did Shechita Lishma properly, l'shem the karban, and zrika shalom lishma, it's ruined. So ask Tosfos, but what do you mean? If you say kala omei lizro kizarik dami, so then right when it has the potential to be nizrak, to be sprinkled, so that should be good enough. So Tosfos says, ironically, if you didn't do anything yet, you could say kizarik dami, but once you did it in a problematic way, then that ruins it. So if you hadn't done anything, then fine. You could still have the potential. Why? Because the potential foresees that you might do this and hopefully will do this properly. But once you did it incorrectly, so then that's a mafkia. That ruins it. That's what Tosfos says with the second wide line. V'yesh lomar. Kivan sha'akran mi lishman. Once you uprooted it from being lishma, gara mi nishpach hadam. It's worse than just the blood spilling out, and you are never having done the zrika. V'igloi milsa delo avi kazorik b'shas kabbalah. Once I did it in the wrong way, so that shows it's lav kazorik dami. It's kazorik dami up until the time that I'm able to do it, and once I do it in the wrong way, so then that ruins the kazorik dami. So that's an important tosas right over here. Good. Approach number three. Five lines from the bottom now. How to explain the Mishnah that you have the psulos, the lechamim, the loaves that are pasul. Remember the 10 loaves of the carbon toda that are going to be that are chametz. So Tana Mishum Rabbi Elazar Amru Ksheiros Hayu. Really, he had a brisa that had a different halacha. Our Mishnah says Psulos. The brisa that was taught in the name of Rabbi Elazar was that no, they were Ksheiros. Kolzman, they used kasher loaves. Kolzman Shemunachos, as long as they were up above Kol Ha'am Ochlin, then the Am was still able to eat. Right? They knew it was before the end of the fourth hour. Nitzlach Hasbehan, when one of them was taken down, Tolin, that's when they were in limbo, Lo Ochlin, Lo Sarfin. Then they didn't eat anymore, they didn't burn yet, that was the fifth hour. Nitzlushteyan, once both of them were taken off, Hiskilu Kulam Sarfin. So that's when everybody started to burn the chametz. Tosfos points out here that the Shita is like Rebbe Gamliel. Like Rabbi Gamliel, who says that you are allowed to eat truma through the fifth hour, so that's why, that's what this, who this shita is about. Right? That's what the Tosfos points out. Notes them ha'achrona b'sof chamesh. So they used to take it, therefore, at the end of the fifth hour, they used it as a symbol, but how can you use kasher ones? Aren't you ruining it? Should you be eating it? The answer is you did eat it. At the end of the fifth hour, as you take it off, you eat it quickly. And that's what this daya holds. Tanya. Fine, that's a different shita than the Mishnah. The Gemara then adds another different shita, Tanya Abishalomer. There's another opinion that says maybe they didn't use loaves at all. Shtei paros ha'yucharshas bar ha'mishcha. There were two cows that used to be plowing on ha'ramishcha, meaning ha'razesim. Interesting, ha'razesim, as we know, that's where the avodah of the paraduma was done. It was on Harazesim, that the Kohen Gadol was looked westward from Harazesim to Harabayis, the door of the Heichal of the Azara had to be open, so he had to look from there. So in halachic terms, Harazesim is one of the most kadosh tahar places in halacha. So the Paraduma was done, all the chumras that the Mishnayos and Parah talk about for the high standard of the Paraduma. A couple hundred years ago, at some point in history, it became a Beis HaKfaris. Right? Bizman HaZeh, why? Because of the Chazals, that's where Tchias HaMesiv is going to start from, and there's not going to be any Gilgal Gufim from HaRazesim. Right? Mashiach comes, boom, Tchias HaMesiv is going to start from HaRazesim. So it became a Beis HaKfaris. But originally, it wasn't a Beis HaKfaris. It was the opposite. It was the most Tahar area ever, in that the avoda of the paraduma was done there on Harazesim. Anyway, so you have two paros that were on Harazesim, called Zman Sheshtein Choshos, and people saw them because they were high up on Harazesim. People kept looking at the mountain. As long as they were still plowing, Kalam Ochlin, that was the simon. They knew it was still before the end of the fourth hour. Nitelas Achas Mehen, once one of them was removed, Tolin Ochlin Lo Sarfin. That's when they knew it was the fifth hour. Nitzlushteyan, once both of them were taken, Hischilu Kal Ha'am Sarfin. That's when everybody started burning their chametz, because they knew time has run out, and there's no more time for for the heter of Achila or the heter of Hanna. Good. One other ha'ara related to Bidigas Chametz and Biur Chametz, and that is here, Rav Zilberstein in the Chashuk Echebet discusses on the line, Hischilu Kol Ha'am Sarfin, a question related to Bidikas Chametz. Let's say somebody, Baruch Hashem, has a baby boy, it's their firstborn, Pidyon HaBen, day 31 comes out on Erev Pesach. That's the day 31, so you got to do a Pidyon HaBen on day 31. What if there's a case that it's a busy time on Erev Pesach morning. So he's got to do Pidyon HaBen and he wants to have a Suda early in the morning. But if he has the Suda, if he has the Pidyon HaBen, so then he's not going to have time to burn his chametz. So he just wants to be mevatel his chametz. He can't do both. So which one does he do? Does he do actual Biur chametz, or does he do Pidyon HaBen or just be mevatel? Obviously, you can't violate by Rabbi Yimatzai. That's the shaila. Adab sheishlo zman mugbal be'erev Pesach v'yachol liftos es b'no o lisrof chametz achas shneim lo yasvig lasos. Somehow we can't do both. Ha'im yiftes b'no v'kaye mitzvah zaseh da'oraisa l'umas reifas chametz shemi da'oraisa mo'o pittel. You just do pittel chametz. Da'oraisa, what we had earlier. Like it says earlier in that Dalet. O shema pidyon ha'ben hi lo mitzvah overes. Or no, do Pidyon HaBen some other time. Right, do it on Chol HaMoed. Is that business? Is that Lachara? What's the issue of doing Pidyon HaBen on Chol HaMoed? La'uma zos sreifas chametz im lalach shavei masai. But beer chametz, it's got to be now. So maybe you should do beer chametz. Va'od, and then he says, the sreifas chametz ba'alam noam ichshash achila v'kshash by Rabbi Yimatzei. burning the chametz, bitul chametz we mentioned is bidaraisa okay, but you still have to do bdika because shemi masik luski yafeh. So this is to prevent you from violating it as a daraisa. The yesh yoser lizar lodi kasha belosa say me ashala kaima say. That's the shaila that he was dealing with. So he relates this to another shaila that was asked in the chidusher of Shlomo Hyman. He quotes the Maseches Kiddushin where he had the shaila of, do you do pidyon haben first or do you daven myra first? That was the shaila that he had. So in the Sefer he says, some suggest that you daven myra first because of tadir. Tadav sheino tadir, tadir kodem. And the Rav Shlomo Hyman quotes, and he says, I quoted this to Rav Simcha Zelig, and he asked Rav Chaim, and Rav Chaim agreed to me. And that was, Pidyon HaBen comes first. Before Myrif. Why? And in its case, the B'nai Mitzvah Acheres, Afat Adira, Kivan Shehu Chov Gomor Al Ha'av, V'lo Rak Mitzvah. Pidyon HaBen is a Shibud, is a Chov. If a Malva comes over to a Lova and says, can you please pay me back? And you say, no, first I'm davening, and then I'll pay you back. Right? First I'm davening. No, you pay him back. You owe the loan, you pay him back right now. It's a chov, right? What you do later? No. The malo la malve im chiv mitzvosav shalalove. Hari mamonik abay. Viv came, got pidyon haben came. So that's what he quotes from other achronim. So if that's true, so pidyon haben should go first. But on the other hand, there's a chazonish. He quotes a Maseches Kiddushin that says that there's a shaila about Pidyon HaBen versus Aliyah LaRegel. All of these Achronim discuss Pidyon HaBen versus another mitzvah. And the Chazanish says the other mitzvah wins. So he goes back and forth exactly what should be done. L'maisa, at the end of the day, he says Bir Chametz wins. Bir Chametz wins. And if you have time, you know, you'll find a Kohen and be put to the sun. But Bir Chametz, there's a danger. The Chashash Achila wins out. And therefore, even if it's a Shibud, even if it's important, you still have to wait to first do Bir Chametz, maybe make a Shliach. Doesn't give that possibility. If you make a Shliach for Bir Chametz, that also can be done. Right? Can you make a Shliach for Pidyon HaBen? That's a discussion in the postgame. You know, it's Pidyon HaBen in Yerodea. But either way, this is the Chashukei Chabad right here. Okay, here we go on both sides. The Mishnah tells us, this is now the second half of the first parak of Maseches Psachim, known as the Sugyas of Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim. Why? Because he's the first person that's quoted here in the Mishnah. Rabbi Chanina, the assistant Kohen Gadol. Right, this goes till the end of the parak on Daf Chaf Aleph. So Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim said the following. So before we even get into what he says, what does he mean, Skan HaKohanim? What did the assistant Kohen Gadol do? What was his job? So the Rambam describes beautifully, in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol and the Skan Kohen Gadol. The Rambam discusses in Perek Dalid. First he talks all about the Kohanim in general, and they were split up into the Mishmaros, and they were different than the rest of Klal Yisrael. And then the Rambam says, and you appoint a Kohen Gadol. Umimmanin Kohen Gadol, who rosh l'chol ha-Kohanim. He's the head Kohen. Umoshchid, so how do you make him a Kohen Gadol? You have two choices. How does a Kohen Gadol become a Kohen Gadol? So if you can do both, you do both. You anoint him with oil, and you are malbish him with the eight special begadim. Four special begadim, but it's the four in addition to the regular four. And if you live in a time period after Yoshio HaMelech where there is no more oil, it was hidden. So just through the wearing of the choshen and the ephod and the me'il, right, the special begadim of the Kohen Gadol, that's how one becomes a Kohen Gadol. Shne'emar, ayutzaka, roso, shem, and mishcha, umileyas yodol, lelbosh, as a begadim, kishem, shemisrava, shem, and mishcha, kach, misrava, begadim. As we know, the Kohen Gadol becomes a Kohen Gadol either through shem, and mishcha, or through begadim. What do you do? How do you do it? So the Rambam says you got to do it for a week. That is Makdish, the Kohen Gadol. Ketan marben oso bebegadim, love shmona begadim, upostan. V'chozer v'lovshan l'machar shivas yamim yom achar yom. 7 days. Where the begadim take them off? Where the begadim take them off? That's how he becomes a Kohen Gadol. Shne'emar shivas yamim yolbasham ha-kohen tachtav mi-banav. U'keshem sheribi begadim shiva, kach mashicha b'shemen shiva, yom achar yom. 7 days. If he did the avoda without ribui begadim, or shemen ha-mishcha, b'di'evet, as long as he did it once, it's okay. The avodaso is k'sheira. The Ravid here discusses how this fits into a Gemara in the beginning of Yuma, but this is how the Kohen Gadol becomes the Kohen Gadol. And then he talks about the differences between the real Kohen Gadol and the others, the chulu. Good. Then the Rambam says that who appoints the Kohen Gadol? The Bezdin of 71, only by daytime, and you don't want to appoint two Kohanim Gadolim, and here's our halacha. Umimanin Kohen Acher, Yehiel Kohen Gadol, Kimo HaMishne LeMelech. You give the Kohen Gadol a vice Kohen Gadol. He's like the Mishne LeMelech. He's like Yosef was to Paro. Vehu HaNikra Skan. He's the assistant. Vehu HaNikra Mimuna. So he could be called the Mishne LeMelech, the Skan, the Mimuna. Veyia Omed LeYamin Kohen Gadol Tamid. He's literally the Kohen Gadol's right-hand man. Vizeh Kavod Hulo. And this is the kavod to the Kohen Gadol. V'chol ha-kohanim mitachas yad ha-skan. And the skan is in charge of all the other kohanim. That's the skan Kohen Gadol. V'od, and then the Rambam says, quoting Mishnayis from the other Mesechtas, the end of Harius discusses this. V'od mimanin katikolin liyosan l'skan kemo ha-skan l'kohen Gadol. Right, the vice is to the Kohen Gadol, and he himself has assistants. V'yin pachas b'shtayin, there are always two of them, and then you appoint Amar Kohen, seven of them. You have the whole hierarchy of the Kohanic service in the Beis HaMikdash. That's described by the Rambam in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash. So we have the Sgan Kohen Gadol. So Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim Omer. So what is Rabbi Chanina going to get into? The issue that we're going to talk about and why this is here is that we're talking about Bedikas Chametz and Bir Chametz, and we are going to get into the second half of the Mishnah. If I'm destroying my Chametz, and I have Truma Chametz, I have Chametz that's Truma, so I have to destroy it before it's Pesach, just like I have to destroy all my Chametz. And I know that there is an Isser D'Oraisa to be Metame Truma, just like there's an Isser D'Oraisa to be Metame Hektish. Rabbi Chol Kodesh, Lo Siga, there are different sources for what the Isser is of being Matame Chuma, being Matame Hektish. The Gemara discusses it in Maseches Makos. So the Mishnah is about to deal with, do I have to be Makpid about my Truma or my Hektish becoming Tamei if it's going to be halachically Usser anyway in a little while? So if I'm destroying it now, do I have to worry about its becoming Tamei? That's the issue. If I have Chametz Truma, and I am burning my Chametz Truma, am I allowed to burn it with my Chametz Truma Tamea? If I have Chametz Truma Tahora, do I have to be careful about burning this with my Chametz Truma Tamea? I'm burning it anyway. Do I have to be worried that about its becoming Tamei as I burn it? That's going to be what this Gemara is doing here. That's the second half of the Mishnah. But before we get there, we're going to do the root din of burning Hektish. Do I have to worry about burning if I have Sreifas Hektish? When Hektish, for whatever reason, I have to burn it. Became Pasul. Do I have to worry about burning it with Hektish Tamei? Same issue. And then I'm going to apply that to the case of Chametz. So that's going to be the application of what we're going to do in our Mishnah and what this Mishnah is doing here. Just to remember, to review, the Tumah V'Tahara, all the different levels of Tumah V'Tahara. The Avi Avos HaTumah, the granddaddy of all Tumahs, Parshas Chukas, is a dead body, is a corpse. One level removed from that are Avos HaTumos. Right? Avos and lower, those categories, you don't find the concept Av HaTumah in the Torah. You don't have that phrase. Chazal created that phrase. It's Din and Daraisa. Avos HaTumah Satami Daraisa. But that phrase of Av HaTumah and everything under, Rishon, Cheni, Shlishi, Revi, that is all Durabanan words, even though some of them are Dinim Daraisa, in terms of being Metameh others. Avos HaTumahs, as we know, are listed in the first parak in Maseches Kelim. All the different levels of Avos HaTumahs are listed. Even within Avos HaTumahs, there are different levels, different types of Avos HaTumahs. Some are very chamor, some are less chamor, right? Some are metame b'maga b'masa ba'oel. Some are only metame b'maga b'masa. Some are only metame b'maga. Right? The different levels of Avos HaTumahs, and the Mishnayis describe it there in the first parak in Kelim. That's the parak that sometimes people look at, even if they're not learning for a siyum. Right, for a yard site, the other 29 prakim of Kalim are looked at after Perak Aleph. Perak Aleph is the 10 levels of Avos HaTumahs and the 10 levels of Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. That's the first Perak of Maseches Kalim. Good. So let us start. Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim Omer. Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim says the following about the different levels of Tumah, and keep in mind, as we know, that Tumah is always transmitted one level down. If an Av touches something, it becomes a Risho, and a Risho becomes a Sheni. A Sheni becomes a Shlishi, and a Shlishi becomes a Ravi. But the last two only apply in limited contexts. A Shlishi only applies in Truma and Kachim, meaning if a Sheni touches Chulin, nothing happens. If a Sheni touches Truma, Truma becomes a Shlishi. Because the more Kadosh something is, the more fragile it is, the more it can be affected. So the Sheni can make a Shlishi in Truma. A Shlishi could even make a Revi'i in Kachim. So those two only apply to Truma and Kachim. But Hashem, we'll get back to that on the top of Amud Beis. So, Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim Omer. Miyameim Shel Kohanim. In all the days of the Kohanim, lo nimne'u mi lisrof es habasar shenitma bivlada tuma, they didn't not. Meaning they always, it's a double negative, they always burned basar, meaning basar kachim, that became tame with a vlada tuma. What's a vlada tuma? That's a rishon. Vlada tuma is an offspring tuma, so that's not an av, it's a rishon. So meat that became tame from a rishon, which means sheni, the meat's a sheni. So what they used to do is they used to burn meat that was a sheni im habazar shenitma ba'avatoma, with meat that became tame with an avatoma, meaning meat that was a rishon. So that's the pashas of the line of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that they used to burn sheni lutoma meat with rishon lutoma meat. Afalpi shemosifin tuma altamoso, even though this made it more tame. But still they used to do it, because after all, they were burning it anyway. So the iser, or the mitzvah of being shomer on the tahara of kachim, does not apply when you're in the act of burning it. That was what the first din of the Mishnah says. They used to take this sheni latoma meat and burn it with rishon latoma. The Gemara is going to talk about, the first question of the Gemara is going to be, what are you being mosif? If a sheni touches a rishon, it becomes a sheni, and it's still a sheni, and it was a sheni beforehand. So what tumah are you being mosif here? So we're going to have to re-understand the Mishnah. But the pashas of the Mishnah is that the Tanakhama holds, Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim says, they used to take sheni latumah meat and burn it with rishon latumah. The Pnei Yeshua here discusses where exactly is this taking place, because there are different rules elsewhere, Beishamai Beisilol, about where you burn different types of kachim that became tameh. So you got to figure out a case where you have sheni latumah meat and rishon latumah meat that are in the same place, that are being burned in the same place. Okay, that's the first line. Hosif Rabbi Akiva, the Amar. Rabbi Akiva says, no, a bigger chiddush, one step more. Miyameim shel kohanim lo nimne'u mi lahadlik es hashemen. So they didn't not, meaning they used to burn the oil. What oil are we talking about? So Rashi points out, truma oil. Truma oil, because there is no real kachim oil that you could be talking about here, as Hashem we will see later. So Rashi says, they used to burn, the Gemara says, that the Mishnah says, lo nimnu mi lahalik as hashemen, they used to take oil, shenifzal bitvul yom, that became tummy from a tvul yom, which is a mesechta in Shas. A tvul yom has the status of a sheni latuma. That's a dinda oraisa. A tvul yom being metame something, that's a dinda oraisa. So, they used to take oil that became tummy from a tvul yom, meaning the oil was a shlishi. A tvul yom has the status of a sheni. So they used to take oil that a tvul yom touched, tvul yom, someone who went to the mikvah, who now is waiting for sunset to finish his tahara process. So they used to take oil that was a shlishi and burn it. Truma tameh has to be burned. So they used to burn it with b'ner shenitma b'tameh meis, with in a lamp. They used to put the oil in the lamp and burn it in a lamp that became tameh from a tameh meis. A tameh meis, somebody who touched a dead body, is an av. So that lamp is a rishon. So they used to burn a shlishi in a rishon lamp. Even though they're Mosef Tuma. So there, that's being Mosef Tuma. Why? Because the oil, which is a shlishi, is being burned in something that's a rishon, so it's going to become a sheni. So the Tuma is going up, but Rabbi Kiva says that's okay, because you're in the process of destroying it and burning it, so we're not worried about Hosafas Tuma al Tumaso. Let's finish the Mishnah, and then we'll make another comment. Amar Rabbi Meir. So now, Rabbi Meir applies this discussion to our discussion of Chametz. So we had a discussion of, the first line of the Mishnah was about Hekdesh, the second line of the Mishnah was about Truma Temeya, And now we have Amar Rabbi Meir, midivreihem lamadnu, from their words. The fact that you're not worried about mosifin tuma al tum aso when you're in the act of destroying, we learn from there, midivreihem lamadnu, shesorfin truma tahora imatameya bepesach, that when you're destroying truma chametz, and you have truma tahora chametz, you don't have to worry, you don't have to make two separate fires in order to destroy. You could take your Truma Tahora and burn it with your Truma Tameya. That's okay because you're destroying it anyway. Right? That's what Rashi says right here. Tahoil vaholeches li'ibud. Since it's being destroyed anyway, afa tahora v'yasura mida oraisa lo chayshina l'shmirasa. Says Rashi, you don't have to worry about being guarding it. There's usually a mitzvah of guarding Truma. Right? So, mishmeris l'mishmarti, if the guard truma, that doesn't apply. Even though usually we have to, says Rashi, es mishmeris trumosai, still, here, we do not have to guard it because you're in the process of destroying it. Good. Well, we mentioned in the past the tshuva of the Avnei Miluim, the Ksos, and the Avnei Miluim writes in one spot that even though we usually have the principle of ein mevatlin iser l'chachila, I am not allowed to take an Isra and be mevatel on purpose. Bittel works by accident. But let's say I want to put a little bit of milk into my chicken soup. It'll be less than 1/60. I just want to give my little chicken soup a little extra consistency and the flavor. Right? Even though it's going to be bittel. It's going to be less than 1/60. I'm not allowed to do that. Ein mevatel is the chachila. Rov Rishonim assume that Isra is an Isra d'Rabbanan. There's a raiva that says it's a nisid araisa, but Rav Yisrael says it's a nisid rabbanon. The Avnei Miluim says, except by truma. By truma, being mevatel truma lechadchila is an nisid araisa because of this pasuk. Asum es mishmeres l'mishmarti, is a din araisa of being shomer on my truma. So that is the hara of the Avnei Miluim, but back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says that Rabbi Meir holds that you're allowed to burn truma Torah and truma Tameh together. Just like you're not worried in the Hekdesh context, just like you're not worried in the earlier Truma context, so too here, you're allowed to burn the Chametz all together. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Eina Hi Amida. Rabbi Yossi says, sorry, I don't agree. We'll have to see in the Gemara what the Machlokas is between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, I don't agree, I do not think you could burn Truma Tahora, I don't think you could compare the earlier cases with the Chametz case. But Rabbi Yossi says, I do admit, Umodim, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, I do admit that everybody agrees, Shesarfin Zulatzma, Vazulatzma. They have to be burned separately. Amanechluku, what will I give you? What machlokas will I give you that some people say you can burn them together? Al Hatzhuya Balatameya. When you have suffik, when you have truma that's already suffik, tamei suffik tahar. If it's already suffik, so then I'll allow you to burn it together, at least according to one opinion. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Tisarif, Zulatzma, Vazulatzma. Rabbi Eliezer says, even there you have to burn it separately. Rabbi Yeshua, Omer, Shtian, Ta'kachas. So, the only thing, says Rabbi Yossi, that I'll allow you to do is when you already have Shuman that's suffik, tamei, suffik, tahar. But if it's vadai, tahar, then you cannot burn it. You have to have two separate chametz burning piles. You have to have the Truma Tahora chametz pile, and you have to have the Truma Tamea chametz pile. That is the Mishnah. The concept of being mosif tuma al tumaso, or similar context, comes up elsewhere. Again, the Chashuk Yechemin discusses here, if you have, this was the case, again, someone asked me, I think I mentioned this, were all these cases lamaisa cases, or cases that he made up, like the Truma Sadeshen? So, not sure. But many times he just quotes from other poskim. So here he quotes, a shaila in the Sefer Yad Eliyahu. There was a case of a someone in prison, Dan Ba'asir, there was somebody taken by the authorities. Hanimsa b'cheder lo naki. So in his cheder, it was not naki. There was a avit shel meiraglayim, what we would call a urinal, a place where there was a meiraglayim there, and he had a daven there. So could he daven there if there's no choice? Ein breira. Hemuchalas pavalikwa shem kriyishma. So he mentions in the Sefer Yad Eliyahu for a couple of reasons. Yes. You could daven there, you don't know how long you're going to be there, it doesn't smell, Asei Diyachid is Docha the Isser of Ahayimach Necha Kadosh. Those are a couple of reasons why it is Mutter. But then, he has the Yeshlis topic, now the Chashuk Echemet comes in and says, what about the following case? Ma'adin bebeis asurim sheish bo beis chadarim. There are two rooms. One is somewhat naki, and one is somewhat eino naki. V'yeshbo asir hasomech hashidas hayad el yohu v'kari shom kriyishma. There's an eino naki room, but the person in there relies on this shita of the Yad Eliyahu that he says Kriyashma there. V'eimlo kol derech lahotzi dvarim she'eino nekiyim v'yesh b'cheder hanaki graf imtsoa. Mivakesha asir shol cheder zeh lahavir sa'avir lecheder she'eni. L'maisa, the shayla is, if you have a room that's eino naki, could you make it more eino naki and still daven there? Hamerim motor lahosif avid shol soa lecheder shebenkach eino naki. If something's eino naki anyway, and you're already relying on poskim lakula in terms of davening, can you make it more enonaki? So he compares this to the case of Hosef Tuma al Tumaso. Is there any difference between davening with a kli of meraglayim versus a kli of tsoa? Okay, that's his shita. Is there any case that comes up more lamaisa? There is an interesting Ramah. The Ramah says in Hilchos Tumas Kohanim in Yaradeya. The Ramah discusses, as we know, a Kohen is allowed to make himself Tameh Mace. For sure, Tumas Ohel, but for sure, Tumas Maga and Masa. What about a non-Jewish corpse? Big discussion in the postkim. But the Rama says, what happens? What about the following case? What if the Kohen, Rachman al-Slam, lost a relative? So he's going to the cemetery to bury his relative. Can he use the opportunity to go visit a couple of Gedolim that he never gets to visit? You know, I never get to go to the cemetery, says the Kohen, and you know, I'm going anyway to bury my father. So, can I, says the Kohen, could he go visit, you know, the kever of the Gdolim once he's there? So, the Shulchan Aruch deals with this. And he says, no. That's why we bury Kohanim on the edge. So, what's the issue? The issue isn't the going in. The issue is the going out. Right? The issue is if a person is going to their relative, so then fine, he's osik b'mitzvah, and at that point he could still be involved in Tumah. But what happens after the Kvura? So now he's got to get out as fast as possible. That's the din of a Kohen B'Beis HaKvaris. We don't say, oh, once he's in the Beis HaKvaris, you know, he's not becoming more Tameh. No, the halacha is, you're not allowed to be Mosif Tumah al Tumaso. That's the connection to our Mishnah. The Shulchan Aruch says, Aser l'Kohen l'Istameh l'Meis afilu be'esha mitameh l'krovav. Not allowed to. L'fichach, Kohen she'meis l'Meis tzorech lizor l'kavro b'sof Beis HaKvaris. That's why the Kohanim are buried on the edge. Kedesh lo, not only for visitation rites later on, but even for right now. You don't want that to become more Tameh. La Kedesh lo yikanis la besa kvaris, v'lo yis Tameh bekvaris achayim kishik for meso. Fine. Then the Ramah adds, v'davka la'achar shepirish mimeso. This is only once he's separated from his mace. Aval ba'oshu osig b'meso. What if a person is touching a dead body? If a person is touching a dead body, is there any isser for touching another dead body at the same time? Then there's no isser. Mutter litamos afla achayrim. So then you can. So there are some poskim that discuss, there's a big question and issue, I'll just leave it, call it that, with a Kohen going to medical school. Major halachic issues, in terms of, obviously, anatomy, in terms of, that's the major issue. So the question that some poskim tried to figure out, is there a way for a Kohen to be metame himself, to take a tiny little piece of a corpse, lepachos mikisaora, there's no chiyav kvura. So that some poskim discussed this issue. Lemaisa is very difficult to find a kula in that regard. In terms of, oh, well, if he's touching a dead body anyway, he's already being mosif. There's no Isra being most of Tumal-Tumaso according to the Ramah, because you're touching the dead body anyway. How do you touch the dead body in the first place? Right? So that's an issue. Either way, the post can discuss this in this context. Viter, back to our Gemara, says the, actually one other Ha'ara, and the Achronim talk about, interesting that you're talking about Truma, the Gemara is talking about Truma Temeya, not being able to be burned with Truma Tahora. So I just saw the Shar HaMelech brings up, why would the Truma Temeya anyway be a problem for the Truma Tahora? Is there a mitzvah of Srefa? So don't we have a principle of Kitusei Mechta Shiurei? Everything that has to be burned is as if it's burned already. It doesn't have a shear. If you have an Esrog of Ir Hanidachas, you can't use that because it's ultimately to be burned. It's not called an Esrog. It's as if it's burned already, like we just had. Kal Ha'ome Lizrog, Kal Ha'ome Lizrog, Kesarif Dami. So, and you need a shear in order to be metame something else. So how is it that anything that's tameh that has to be burned, how could that be matami anything else? So the Achronim get involved in this in the Kitusei Mechtas Shiurei discussion. So without getting into the lumdus now, but you know, that's a question that they deal with. Let's get into the Gemara. Says the Gemara, back to the question that we asked earlier. Remember, what was the first din of the Mishnah? Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim says that they used to burn kachin that was Sheni Latoma with kachin that was Rishon Latoma. That's what Rabbi Chanina said. So he mentioned, but that's not adding anything. That's the question. So, Michdi, Basar, Shinit Mabivlara Toma, my Have, Sheni. Kisar, so the basar was tummy with a rishon becomes a sheni. Kisarifle bahadi basar shinit baba avatoma. So when you burn that with something that was became tummy from an avatoma, so my have a sheni. That's also a sheni. It becomes a sheni. Sheni v'sheni hu. So they're both shenis. My mosivot tumal tumasuika. What's the chiddush? Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim. Again, you're burning. What's his chiddush? What does he say? We used to burn meat that was a sheni with meat that was a rishon. Yeah, so what's wrong with that? Right? So the sheni is becoming a sheni. It already is a sheni. So what's the hosafas tuma? Of course that's mutter. So Amar Rav Yehuda says Rav Yehuda. The Amora, no. Hacha, you have to add in a line. Bivlad vladas kinon. The first line must be talking about basa that became tummy from a vlad tuma. Meaning it's a shlishi. It's not a sheni. And they used to burn shlishi with Rishon. The Havile Shlishi, it's a Shlishi. The Kasavar Shlishi Mutter Lasoso Sheni. That's the first line of Rabbi Chanina. We used to burn Shlishi Basar Kachin. That was Shlishi with a Rishon. So we used to make it a Sheni. Right? That's what we used to do, and we weren't worried about that. Fine. We'll have to see how this fits into the next line of the Mishnah, as some of you might be thinking already. But anyway, that's what we used to do. Says the Gemara, though, I have a Ha'in Ocha Matame Ocha. But don't we have a principle that one food cannot be matami other food? There are many rules and regulations in Tumah V'Tahara. For example, right, a person and a kli can only become tummy from an avatuma. On a d'oraisa level, a person cannot become less than a rishon. A person can become tummy from an avatuma if a person does a sheretz, right? He becomes a rishon. If a person touches somebody who touched a dead body, he becomes a rishon. Right? There are many. Right? A person touches any of the liquids of a zav, right? He becomes a rishon. So ein adam v'kelim nitzma elame avatuma. That's the rule. See, here's another rule. Ein ochel matame ochel. Detanya yochel ye ochel matame ochel. You might think that an ochel might could be matame an ochel. Meaning you have an ochel that's a rishon to make it a sheni. Tamalomar v'chiyutan mayim al zera. Right, in the context of hechsher l'kavotuma. If liquid goes on zera seeds, which is an example of food, v'nafal mi nivlasam alav, and a nevela, meaning a sheretz, falls on them, tamehu. Once it becomes chukshah l'kabal tuma, it is tameh. So we darshan, hu tameh v'ein oseh chayotzeh bo tameh. It becomes tameh from the sheretz, but it does not make something else like it tameh. So we have this drush of ein ochel matameh ochel. So, how in our Mishnah are you having a piece of meat, making another piece of meat tameh? So the Gemara says, wait a minute. Honi chalabaya, according to Abaye, it's okay. Da amar, lo shanu ela b'chulin. When do we have the principle of food cannot be matami food? That's only by chulin. Ava b'truma v'kachim, but by truma and kachim, ose chayotze bo. Then it can make its a friend tameh. So then it's no problem according to Abaya. Or, Ula Rav Adav Rav Mishvei the Rav Anami, also according to Rav. Da Amar, Lo Shanu Ela Chulin V'Truma. When do you say food cannot be Matami food, Chulin and Truma? Avo B'Kachim, but at least in Kachim, Ose Chayotze Bahen Shapir. So if you say, like either of these opinions, that Ochel can be Matami Ochel when it comes to Kachim, said fine, Shapir, then you understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah's Chiddush is that you could burn a Shlishi with a Rishon, according to our understanding now, and it makes it into a Sheni. And that's the Chiddush, because after all, you're destroying it anyway. Ela l'ravina mishmei d'rava, d'amar. But according to the second version of Rava, who holds? Mikra mali d'ibra akasev, the pasuk includes everything. Loshna chulin, loshna tshuma, v'loshna kachim, eino osa chayotze bo. Ochel can never be matame ochel, Michael Amemar. So then in that case, what's our Mishnah talking about? What do you mean? The basar and the basar? The tumah is not going to be transferred anyway. Ain't ochel matame ochel. So the Gemara says, according to that opinion, you have to say, Hach b'mayas kinon, di'ika mashkin, bahade basar. There's not only ochal there, but there's mashkin. In Hilchus Tuma, food, solid food and liquid are two different categories. When it comes to Tuma, there are four categories in terms of items becoming Tame. Food, liquid, kalim, people. Those are the four. Adam, a kalim, ochal, no mashkin. Right? What else in life could become Tame? Right? You have an animal. An animal cannot become tummy when it's alive. And when it's dead, it is tummy. Right? It's an avela. So animals are not makabal tumma. So they're not in the category. The four items that can be makabal tumma, ochlin, mashkin, adam, kalim. Those are the four items. So here, it must be, you're right, ochel cannot be matami and ochel, but a liquid, even according to the Amanda Amar, can. So there must have been liquid on the basar kachim, and that liquid also became tummy when the Basar became Tame, and now that liquid can be Metame other Basar. Tika Mashkin Bade Basar, to come Mitame Machmas Mashkin, it became Tame through the Mashkin, and now the Mashkin is going to make the other thing Tame. Says the Gemara, Ihachi, if that's true, Hai Im HaBasar Shenitva Ba'avatoma, Im HaBasar U'Mashkin Riboile. So the Mishnah should be more explicit. The Mishnah says that you're allowed to burn Basar that became Tame with an Avatoma, you should mention the liquids too. Because the liquids is what's doing the transfer here. So the Gemara says, okay, forget it. Not liquid, it doesn't say liquid, so it can't mean liquids. So what must the Mishnah mean? There's no hosafas tuma from ochel to ochel. You're right. On a doraisa level, there's no hosafas tuma. But there is hosafas tuma on a drabana level. Ela nehi deinochel matami ochel mi doraisa. Midrabanan miyumatame. Still, midrabanan ochel can be matame ochel. And that's what the Mishnah is referring to. The chiddush of Rabbi Chanina, that we used to burn shlishis with rishons in the Beis HaMikdash, his chiddush is saying, and we wouldn't worry about the iser drabanan of hosafas tuma al tumaso. That's how you have to understand the Mishnah, according to the opinions that ochel is not matame ochel on a daraisa level. Good, so now, Baruch Hashem, we have gone through the first day in the Mishnah. Rabbi Chanina Skalakonim, according to our understanding now, says and holds, you could take a Shlishi Latuma and burn it with a Rishon Latuma. Fine. The problem now is, though, that's how we originally understood Rabbi Akiva. Shlishi, and that was the Pashtus of Rabbi Akiva, burning a Shlishi with a Rishon. But now we just said, that's the first opinion. And Rabbi Akiva is adding something. Remember Rabbi Akiva? He was the second opinion. Rabbi Akiva says, host of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, not only that, but even the following is mutter. So what's the following now? So that's what the Gemara is about to ask. Host of Rabbi Akiva, michti. What did Rabbi Akiva say? You could take oil that became pasul from a tful yom. A tful yom, if you remember, was a sheni. So if you have an oil that became pasul from a tful yom, so that oil is a shlishi. You could take that shlishi and put it into a lamp that's a rishon. So, shlishi and a rishon, make it into a sheni. That's the same thing that we just said from Rabbi Chanina. Michdi, shemen, shenifsa betful yom, I have a shlishi, it's a shlishi. V'chi madlik le b'ner shenitva betame meis, and when you put it into a lamp that became tame from a tame meis, that means the lamp is a rishon, my have, so what does the oil become? Sheni, so my kamashmalon. Shlishi mutter la soso sheni. What are you teaching me? That a shlishi can become a sheni? Hainu hach. That's exactly what the first opinion says. So now, according to the way we explain the first opinion, it's the same exact sheet. There's the second opinion. So we're stuck. What is Rabbi Akiva adding? What is his chiddush? So I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, hacha. What kind of ner are we talking about? What is Rabbi Akiva saying? B'ner shamatechas askidan. We're talking about a metal lamp. What do you mean a metal lamp? A metal lamp that touched a dead body. And we have the chiddush din of the Rachmana Amar based on Pesukim and Chukas b'chalal cherev cherev harayuka chalol. Literally, a sword is like a corpse. A sword is like a corpse. This is one of the exceptions to the rule of transmission of tumah. We know that tumah always transfers down. An av touches something and makes it a rishon a sheni a sheni a shlishi v'chulu. But there are at least two, maybe more, exceptions to the rule when tumah is transferred across and it stays the same. For example, a zav that sits on a couch, the zav is an avatuma, and the couch is an avatuma. Mishkav azav, Moshev azav, all of that's one example where it transfers across, not down. And the other example, on a d'oraisa level, so din d'oraisa, is cherev hariyuka chala. When you have a kli that touches a dead body, that kli is also the same status as a dead body. It's an avi avos atoma. If anybody touches that sword, so then that person becomes an avatoma. Right? Because the sword is an avi avos atoma. So that's the kli that we're talking about here in the Mishnah. So it's not a shlishi with a rishon, it's a shlishi with an av. Right? It's an avatoma, something that touched the ner, right? The ner, and therefore it's an avatoma, and therefore it's going to become a rishon. Chalacherv harayik chalo v'haviyale avatoma. It's an avatoma v'ksavar shlishi mudalasos a rishon. So the chiddush isn't that a shlishi could be made into a sheni. A shlishi could be even made into a rishon. That's the chiddush of Rabbi Akiva. That's the context that we're talking about. Cherv harayik chalo. There is a major discussion in the Rishonim. How do you understand cherv harayik chalo? There are many parallel machlokos. How seriously do you take this parallel? That a cherev, a sword, is like a chalo. First of all, halacha lemaisa, which types of materials is there a machlokas about? So, for sure metal, because that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara here says mateches. What about other materials? What about wood? What about other types of materials? That's a major machlokas. Machlokas Rishonim in Bali Tosis all over, but the Rambam also weighs in on this. The Rambam has a more expanded shita. The Rambam says, all kalim. All kalim. Says the Rambam, Menachos Tumas Meis. Kalim, all of Tumas Meis is one mitzvah. Tumas Meis. Kalim, so the Rambam says here, Kalim, she'enu b'meis. Bein b'maga, bein b'ohel. Kalim, that became tummy from a meis. Hare hein l'nogea b'en, ki nogea b'meis atzmo. They are like touching the dead body itself. Ma ha'meis, mitame ha'nogea bo, bein adam, bein kalim, Tumas Shiva. Just like it creates your tummy for 7 days. Av kalim, she'enitmu b'meis. Hein v'akelim or other one nogia b'em tumei tumas shiva. Fine. And then the Rambam says, "Mipi Yeshua lamdu shacherv kemeis v'hu adin l'shar kelim ben kli matches ben kli shetef ubigadim." Any type of kli that could go into the mikvah, meaning excluding kli cheres, but all other types of kelim are included, says the Rambam. And the Ravid says, "Sorry, anu ein lanu ella becherev." Only a sword, obechiburin b'shar kelim, or maybe as if the other kli is still touching the dead body, so then maybe it has that status. But once it separates from the other dead from the dead body, it does not have. So the machlokas between the Rambam and others and Baalei Tosfos, does it apply to only metal or by other kelim? But all the Rishonim, we don't have time to read through it now. But all the Rishonim discuss, you know, what about is a nazir muzhar on cherev hariyuk chalo? Meaning if a Nazir touches this cherev, does he lose his Naziris? Does he have to start again? Is it Soser? Is a Kohen Musar on cherev Hariyuk Chalo? Right? If a Kohen, because could a Kohen be in a room with, you know, a cherev Hariyuk Chalo? Right? All of these questions. Does it make you Tame Tuma Shiva? So the Ramban, I'll just read you maybe one source. The Ramban in Chukas, he limits all of this Tuma. The Rambam does not limit it. But the Shaila is how could Cherev Hariyu Kichalo. So how much emphasis is on the Kuh? So the Ramban, beginning of Chukas, he minimizes. He says, V'hanirim enasugyus mevishna v'gemar, you got to put together 10 sugyus in Shas. So he says, first of all, I think it's only mitami b'mago b'masa, and not b'ohel. I don't think Cherev Hariyu Kichalo is mitami b'ohel. Number one. And also, I think, says the Ramban, that it does not require you to be sprinkled with the ashes of the Paraduma on day 3 and 7. I don't think it's like a dead body in that regard. Even though it becomes an av, he says it's beduk in the psukim. So the Ramban minimizes the comparison very much. Other Rishonim do not. This is the sugya of cherev harei hukachalo. There's just one great line in I don't have it here, but if you look in the Tosfos, actually I think I did bring it. If you look at Tosfos in Maseches Nazir, Daf Nun Dalid, says a machlokas there between Rabbeinu Tam and Reb Chaim Kohen in terms of whether a Nazir is Megaleh Chalav. Rabbeinu Tam holds that a Nazir that touches a Cherev Harayuk Chalav loses his Naziris, has to start again. V'shalach lo Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen, and Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen, he was a Kohen. Right, Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen sent a letter to Rabbeinu Tam, Eze bayis asher tivnu li. Right, quoting a pasuk in Navi. Which house will you build for me? What does that mean here? De'ein nazir megalei chalav. You have to say that a nazir does not lose his naziris. Why? Because if you say a nazir, it loses his naziris, it must be that a Cohen is also musar. And says Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen, What? The emlecha bayis she'ein lecha ba'shum kli matchas shahaya ba'ol ames oshum masmer. Every house in the world must have kalim that were in the house of a dead body. You have to say that. And if you say cherev hariyuk chalo means nazir loses, nazir and kohanim have the same halacha, assumes Rabbi Chaim Cohen. So he says, what house could I walk into? Eza bayis ashetivnuli. Right, paraphrasing a pasuk in Tanakh. So there are many ways you could argue on that. You could say a nazir and kohanim don't have the same dinim, right? There are you could say maybe it's limited to certain types of metal and not there's no tufas ohel. There are different limitations that you could have, but that's machlokas Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen and Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, but this is the suggestion of the Gemara. What was being referred to in the Mishnah according to Rabbi Akiva? So okay, according to our understanding now, the first day of the Mishnah, Rabbi Chanina says you could burn shlishis with rishons. So their shlishi is going to become a sheni. And Rabbi Akiva says you can burn a shlishi with an av. So therefore the shlishi could even become a rishon. That's the understanding now. Fine. Says the Gemara, Umay duchke de Rabbi Yehuda lo'ukme b'ner shamatechas. Why was Rabbi Yehuda, why did he have the suggestion, oh, it must be talking about a metal ner, cherev hariyukachalo, and it brings it up. Derech agav, they bring this, our Gemara is a raya against the Rambam, because our Gemara keeps mentioning metal, not other. Why doesn't the Gemara just say, you know, a ner of cherev hariyukachalo? But anyway, says the Gemara, why did he push and come up with the ukimta of a metal ner and it's cherev hariyukachalo? I have another suggestion. Another suggestion, how you could say that Rabbi Akiva is being mechadesh something, and keep it with the in the context of rishons and shlishis. Nukmi b'ner shel cheres. Say he's talking about a ner of earthenware, cheres. Umay hosif. What do you mean? A ner of a cheres that's a rishon? So it's the same thing. Right? They're both saying you could be metam, make a shlishi into a sheni by burning it with a rishon. So what would be the chiddush if Rabbi Akiva is just talking about a regular ner? De'ilu hasam tame v'tame. De'ilu hacha pasal v'tame. What are we talking about? So Rashi explains that Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Akiva are still talking about two different things. Rabbi Chanina is talking about kachim. Rabbi Akiva is talking about truma. Meaning, Rabbi Chanina says you could burn a shlishi with a shrishon by kachim. There, says Rabbi Chanina, they're in the same category of power of being metame. We need another introductory point to understand this line. There are two types of kalim or materials or tame objects. If I could be metame something else, I'm not only tame. I could be metame something else, I'm called tame. If I am tame, but right, I do not have the power to go beyond, I can't create something that's going to be metame something else, that's called posel. Being metame says you can not only make something tame, but you can give it the power to be metame something else. Posel means you can make something tame, but then it ends there. That's tame and posel. So with that, we understand this line. Because says the Gemara, forget cherev harikachalo. Say they're both talking about rishons and shlishis. But there's still a chiddush of Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Chanina is talking about in the world of kachim. And therefore in kachim, a shlishi to a rishon, and making the shlishi into a sheni, all of them are tame and not pasul. Because remember, kachim can even be a revi'i. So it's a shlishi. It's becoming a sheni. So he's allowing it to become a shlishi to a sheni, but there's no qualitative jump that he's allowing, because they're all tame. But you know what Rabbi Akiva is adding? He's in the world of truma. He's taking a shlishi and making it into a sheni. So that's jumping quality from pasul to tame, because a sheni can make a shlishi in truma. So now, there, even though in both Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Akiva, they're both saying, well, a shlishi could be burned with a rishon, and therefore the shlishi becomes a sheni, but there's a jump, according to Rabbi Akiva, in the category. Maybe that's the chiddush of Rabbi Akiva. And you don't have to come up to the ukimta, oh, we're talking about a cherev harikachalo. Just say it's a regular shlishi with a rishon, but the first, Rabbi Chanina is talking about kachim, Rabbi Akiva is talking about truma. So that's the Gemara right here. Umay hosef, what was he mosef? Dilo hasam, Rabbi Chanina is tamei v'tamei. It's the same category. V'ilu hacha, pasu v'tamei. Says the Gemara, no. Amar Rava, why did he say Acher Varei Gachalo? Masisan Kishisei. No, the Mishnah's language bothered him. My Arya then, if it's true, what you're trying to suggest, my Arya, the Tani, Ner Shedin Bebatame Meis. Why did the Mishnah say a specific type of Tumah? Right, the Rabbi Kiva says, Ner Shedin Bebatame Meis, Nis Nishinin Bebasheres. Just like they say, if it came to me with any Avatumah. Ella Ezeo Davar Shechaluka Shnitva Shechaluka Tumaso Be Tumas Meis L'Sheretz. Why must it have mentioned Tumas Meis? Because it must be talking about a kli that's uniquely Tame from Tumas Meis. Havi Omer Zemateches. That's why it must be referring to Cherev Hariyuka Chalol. Period. Okay, so all we did was explain the Mishnah, and then we just said just now, why didn't we have a different explanation to the Mishnah? No, because the language of the Mishnah tips us off that we're talking about Cherev Hariyuka Chalol. Okay, last section for today. Amar Rava, Shma Mina, you see from this last discussion, Kesava, Rabbi Akiva, that Rabbi Akiva holds Tumas Mashkin Latame Acherim De'oraisa. This is a machlokas that's going to come up later on tomorrow's daf. Liquid making other items Tame. Is that a Din De'oraisa or a Din De'rabanan? Tame liquid. That's a machlokas Tanaim. It must be, the Gemara says here, implicitly that Rabbi Akiva holds that's a din to Oraisa. Why? The Isaka Daitach Durabanan, because if Tumas Mashkin is only Durabanan, so what are we talking about here? Remember, we're talking about Tame oil. You're burning Shlishi oil in a lamp that we've just described as an avatuma, right? Because it's from Cherev Hariyuka Chalol. So that must be a din d'oraisa, because if he holds it's d'rabanan, that the oil is now only going to have the power to be metame other things d'rabanan. So michdi hai ner maika mahan yilai shemen. So what did this ner, which is an avatuma, do to the oil, which now becomes a rishon? But what if it's all on a Durabana level? Would Rabbi Akiva say it? Elif Sule Gufe, if the Chiddush of Rabbi Akiva that the oil becomes Tame itself, Hapasel V'Koy. No, it already is Tame. So you're not adding anything. So therefore, it must be, what is Rabbi Akiva's Chiddush by saying that, oh, it's a Shlishi that's becoming a Rishon? It must be that there's a D'oraisa halachik nafkamina. And that is that this oil now could be metame other things on a d'oraisa level. Isn't that how you have to understand Rabbi Akiva? So the Gemara says, Mimai, Dilma l'tame achemi d'rabana. No, maybe it's becoming a rishon. And just like we said in the first day, that we're talking about on a d'rabana level, so to here. Maybe we're talking about on a d'rabana level. So the Gemara says, no. Imi d'rabanan, if we're talking about on a d'rabana level, and now this liquid has the power to be metame other things d'rabanan. So my Arya ba'avatuma. So why did Rabbi Akiva have to come up and say the chiddush of the oil becomes a rishon and it becomes that from an avatuma? If you will be rishon v'sheni nami tchilahave. The din derabanan is, as we'll see, liquid tummy liquid makes things into rishons on a derabanan level. Even if you have a liquid that's a sheni latuma, even if you have a liquid that is low level, it makes it into a rishon going backwards. We'll have to see why that is. It's a gzeira mishum mashkin of azov. But that's the din. So according to Rabbi Akiva, you wouldn't have to come up with a case of an avatoma making it tameh, even a rishon latoma. Ditznan, as the Mishnah says, kol haposel atzat truma, anything that makes truma pasel, which means a sheni latoma, mitame mashkin lioschila, is metame liquids to make it into a rishon on a drabanan level. Chus mi tful yom, except for tful yom, which is itself a din d'oraisa. But you see from there, Rabbi Akiva wouldn't have to come up with the case of avatoma. So elishma, mina d'oraisa hi. Okay, so the Gemara accepts that. The Rabbi Akiva here is implying, that relating to the machlokas that comes up on tomorrow's daf, that liquids have the power to be metame other things on a d'oraisa level and not on a drabanan level. Just one final point to remember. The Gemara says here, Tful Yom is an exception because that's a Din D'oraisa. The concept of Tful Yom, somebody went to the mikvah after 7 days and now he's waiting for sunset to make himself Tahar. So we mentioned in the past, the Egle Tal quotes in the Hagdama, what's the concept of a Tful Yom? He went to the mikvah already. So why isn't he Tahar? What does he have to wait for sunset for? He doesn't have to do anything else. So the Egle Tal quotes his father who says that you know what the message of Tful Yom is? If you started off Tame today, then even if you went to the mikvah, that day is stained already. The day is tainted. And you can't get rid of that totally until the day is changed. That's why he explains there's a mitzvah of Kriya Shema only twice a day and not three times a day. In the morning and at night. Why? Because you do say Kriya Shema in the morning, that affects you the rest of the day. If it applies to Tum, it applies to Kedusha for sure. You say Kriya Shema in the morning, Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim, the rest of the day is affected. At night, so now you got to say it again, because now you have a new day. You have a new day, and now you need a new Kriya Shema to affect you. Why is there a difference? Say it by night. That's the beginning of the halachic day. Okay, so you say it by night and by day, respectively. That's why you don't say it by Mincha. Because your day has already been defined as an O Malcha Shemayim day. Okay, there's more here. Burning Truma Temeya. Maybe we'll talk about that mitzvah tomorrow, Hashem. But we've gotten our feet wet in terms of the sugyas of Rabbi Hanina Sganakonim. Okay, we'll stop here.